Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
Y'all have just advanced by leaps. And for those of you who don't know us, I was told many years ago that I was a bridge builder. So our ministry has been over the years to build bridges between the old and the new. And I was, I talk a lot about coming out of the box because we're all coming out of the box. Yes. If you weren't coming out of the box, you would not be here this morning. And I gave a message in Fayette, Missouri a month or so ago, and I sent it out as my CD of the month. And a brother wrote back to me and he said, "You not only got out of the box, you blew it up." Because I talked about source energy and light and vibration. But I'll tell you what, that's where we're going. I mean, that is the revelation of this day. There's a lot of ministries that do not have the revelation that God is bringing today. The revelation that we need and that we're beginning to understand is coming out of quantum physics and science. Quantum physics has proven that all things come out of one source. And that is such a magnificent thing when you can grasp that. We're going in these days through such a transformation process. I was warned many years ago as I began to somewhat build the bridge and come out of the box by all of my religious friends is that you really need to be afraid of these New Age people. Yet I found out many years ago that when religion told me to stay away from it, that's probably where I needed to go.
That's true.
Many books I have read that has been such a help to me, I've been warned against reading them. But anyway, so many told me, and so many left our ministry because the bridge we were building got a little bit too far from the box, and so some just couldn't see it. But you know, I've discovered that among those who are learning what we're learning in these days, that there isn't a more wonderful, loving, energizing people on earth than those who are learning their true source.
Yeah.
Learning that we are, I'll tell you, each one of us is a source energy. Yeah. Each one of us has the most beautiful, magnificent person. I mean, I shouldn't say we have it, it's who we are. And you know, I don't really like the word processing. We're not being processed into something. What's happening to us is called an unveiling and a realization. And so I'm just thrilled with what I'm seeing. So many have said, you know, the church age is over. And I say, you know what? I believe it's just beginning. What I see being over and ending is that old religious system that has kept us alienated and separated in our minds by doctrine and theology. That's coming to an end. But the church, you know, Jesus said I believe it's Ephesians 5, that he gave himself for a church without spot and wrinkle. So everybody has said, well, he's coming back after a church without spot and wrinkle. So then they start telling you what you need to do to get rid of those spots and wrinkles. But that's not what he meant. I mean, we are a glorious manifestation of all that he is. And I had a hard time saying that many years ago. But the more I realize the beauty of his essence that he placed within me, the more I begin to experience that. And to realize that deep within the recesses of our being, we have everything that we could ever need to walk this path that we're walking. There is nothing on the outside of you that you need. What you need is an unveiling and a realization of everything that you are.
Yes.
It's not what you'll become. You could say in a sense we're becoming, but really it's an unveiling to what has always been there.
Yes.
We have always been the most beautiful people on this earth. We just haven't realized it. And so the more I began to meet up with what you know people say are New Age people or New Age concepts, the more I began to look in that area, the more I found the truth that I knew within me. And so many times now when we speak, we still speak to a lot of the religious groups because, again, that my heart is to get everybody out of that mess.
Yeah.
And I'm not against churches, but I am against the concepts that you're taught in church. And one of the most damaging things, hellish thing, that you learn in religion is doctrinal differences. Doctrinal differences. That if you can't believe the way I do, I can't walk with you. And I have people quite often that tell me that they can no longer walk with us because we're getting too far out of the box. And I'm glad I blew it up.
Yes.
See, once you blow the box up, you can't go back in it. And I have seen so many begin to walk this way and become thrilled and get set free from bondages, and then they let some of their religious friends get them into fear.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of shrink back in the box. So one of the first things I share with people as I'm going into new groups that are beginning to just open up to the understanding that we have is to drop fear. There is absolutely nothing in this universe that you need to fear. The only thing you need to immerse yourself in is the love of God. Because that is the only thing that will absolutely dispel all of the fear that you have. When you discover that there's nothing you have ever done or nothing you could ever do to separate you from God or His love. And see, religion never told me that. Religion told me that my habits and my sins built a wall between me and God. And that is an absolute lie.
That's right. Yeah.
Because if you believe that, guess what? You can't get to that place where you need to be. So we begin to discover that God is absolute, unconditional love. So I got to the place in my experience where I knew that no matter how bad I was, or no matter what I did, no matter how many mistakes I made, no matter how often I missed the mark, it had nothing to do with God's evaluation and appreciation of me.
That's right.
Because God has never evaluated us or looked at us according to the flesh. Do you think that he would do something that he teaches you not to do? You know, the Apostle Paul said many years ago that we know no man after the flesh. And he even went further to say, even Jesus we once knew after the flesh, but henceforth we know him that way no more. How many Christians today do you know who don't hold to that flesh man? Do you know you can't really appreciate Jesus if you don't understand that we no longer worship him after the flesh. Because when you read scriptures, you'll think of the man in Galilee. And the scriptures are not talking about a man in Galilee, although he was an integral part of our faith and our message. It is an integral part. But when the scriptures don't really talk about Jesus now. They talk about Christ. So many people who worship a figure in their mind that walked the earth 2,000 years ago cannot really understand what we're saying today. Because to really adhere to and believe in that man of Galilee, you have to know where he is. Now, he's not in Galilee anymore.
Amen.
So to really believe on him, in fact, there's a scripture, I believe it's 1 Peter says that if you believe on him, well, let me look at that real quick because I'm not sure I can quote it. I still tremendously enjoy the scriptures, but I certainly want to put a different twist on them than what we've had before. First Peter chapter 2 says this, "You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house." Now, see, that's what we're beginning to experience in these days. Not a religious house and not a house that is formed from doctrinal disputations, but we're seeing a spiritual house being built. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Now in religion, when we read that, our mind goes back to the man of Galilee. And that's okay, but you have to realize it goes much further than that. "He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You can't, and that word means confused also. You could not find a Christian today who would tell you they don't believe in Jesus. But look at how confounded and how confused we've been in the past. So what that tells me is, you can say all you want to, "I believe in Jesus," but if you're confused and you're in that religious confusion, you don't really know him. Because to really know him, you have to know where he is today. And to believe on him, you have to know where he is today. He's not in Galilee. He's in you and me. You see, to really believe on him simply means to believe on the Christ that you are. You remember when Jesus asked Peter who he was, and Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father." And then he went on to say that on this foundation I will build my church. Well, so many have said, well, the foundation was Peter. And that's where the Roman church came from. But see what Jesus meant when he said, "I will build my church on this revelation." It's the revelation of Christ in a man. Yes. Has nothing to do with the man of Galilee in that sense, because we are all now Christ on this earth. We are all the anointed of his presence on this earth. We are all manifesting the glory of God on this earth. So that is what the church is built on. Not on doctrine, not on theology, not on reasoning, but on Christ in a man. So that's why everywhere I say, everywhere I go, you must, the very first thing you must have to progress spiritually is a revelation that you are Christ on this earth. And until you have that revelation, you'll think that we're crazy, or that we're new age, or that we're walking, you know, in a crazy path. But once you see it, once you have a revelation of Christ in you, it so sets you, it sets your face like a flint. Because you begin to have the revelatory knowledge that you need to walk in the kingdom now. And you quit waiting for it to happen. So many today are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I say, if you're waiting, you're missing it. It's not a doctrine that someday there's a certain period of time where all of you religious folks are going to be transformed into sons. That's not how it works. It is a path to be walked. And daily, in our daily life, we are manifesting as sons and daughters of God. There's no need to wait. Now it gets better. You get more of an unveiling. You get more of an understanding. But you don't have to wait.
That's right.
I'll tell you, when I first began to experience that wonderful life within me, My God, how my life changed. I came out of so much bondage. Yeah. And talk about missing the mark. I missed it every day for 13 years. But when I awoke to the reality that Christ really is in me, I had that doctrine for years. And so, you know, and I know many have the teaching and the doctrine that Christ is in them. But you see, if you really know it, guess what happens? You begin to walk as he walked. You have no pointing of the finger. I often remember Floyd. I miss Floyd. I think this is the first time I was here. But we can't find him. We can't locate him. I know he's here, but I can't locate him. But Floyd used to always say, no conflict. Yeah. And see, that's the mind of Christ. There is no conflict in the mind of Christ. It is the most beautiful thing when we begin to experience his loveliness begin to flow in us. And then we begin to understand scriptures. I used to cry over the scriptures when I'd read things like, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I used to cry over those scriptures, and I'd say, God, I'm miserable. There's no living water coming out of me. And you know, and as long as I thought that and confessed that, there never was. But I got a hold of what people are calling the secret now. The Lord taught me that many years ago. And I began to repent. And when I say repent, I don't mean stop smoking and stop sinning. I mean change your mind. And I began to, as much as my ability would allow me, I began to change my mind about who I was. And I just began to, I would go in my room at night for sometimes an hour or more, and I just began to confess the truth. And I knew that I was a son. God had clearly revealed to me even my destiny. One time when I was so discouraged, God spoke to me and he said, John saw you in the book of Revelation. And when I understood that, I went to the book of Revelation where it says every tongue, every tribe, every nation, everything in the heavens, the earth and under the earth was giving praise to God. And again I heard, John saw you there. That's when I began to learn my security in God, not from a doctrine. You see, doctrine will never help any of us. Now, your doctrine can become a reality and then it'll help you. But it's not used to divide or to separate us from anyone at all. We all have our own little things we believe or maybe our doctrines or whatever. And that's okay, but we never, ever should try to manipulate or control or make somebody else believe it the way we do. Amen. See, that's what's caused all the heartache and all the divisions is us thinking that we're right. Right. And one day as I began to think about that, I thought, you know, all the theologians in the world and all of the professors of religion, you get them all together and they can't agree on what's right. So how could we ever think that we have it right and everybody else is wrong? The only way that you will ever know the truth is you have to become the truth. Yeah. And that's why Jesus said so many years ago when he was asked, what is it? I am the truth. And that same I am that operated from him is operating in each of us. And so we can boldly today stand up and say, I am the truth. Yes. I am the light of this world. And tell you folks, we are the light of this world. We have such a message of hope and inspiration that absolutely breaks the bondages of religious people. If they'll open just a little bit. Just a little bit. We have met the most wonderful people just in the last 4 days. Mary Lou took us to some strange places.
That's okay now.
But you see, you can't deny love. what do I care what somebody believes if all I experience coming from them is love? And everybody we meet here, that we're just so accepted, and we sense such a love coming from those we meet. Nana is a great example of that when we first met her. I mean, people that love, religion is so ignorant. People that, I've been saying for years, Christians are the meanest people on earth. Especially the Pentecostals. But how can you meet someone who is full of love and then say, oh, that's a New Age spirit, or that's an angel of light, or, you know, that's a deceiving spirit? Listen, love is God. God, when you meet people who are so full of love and then you're afraid because you think they're in deception, guess who's deceived? It's wonderful. You know, way back in Exodus, I believe Exodus 19, I forget the verse, but it's in Exodus 19. God says, if you will hear my voice and obey my commandments, you shall be a peculiar people unto me, a treasure above all the earth. That's the one thing that we were never taught in religion, is to hear his voice. Amen. We were taught to listen to the preacher, listen to the elders, do everything that, you know, that those in authority over you would tell you to do, but never were we told to hear and obey the voice of God. And when you discover that you can hear the voice of God, that's when you can obey his commandments. Amen. Not when the preacher tells you, but when you, because see, when you hear the voice of God in his speaking, in that sense that comes up within you, is the supply, the finances, everything you need to obey what he says comes to you automatically. Yeah. So the secret is to hear my voice. And I talk to Christians all over, because like I say, we're a bridge builder and we're still doing that. That even to this day, that can say, I've been a Christian for 40 or 50 years and I've never heard the voice of God. Well, that's only because they really haven't known they can, and all they've been taught is to, you got to get it out of the Bible, or you got to get it from the preacher. But when they discover, one of my favorite scriptures is, you have an anointing. And you don't need any man to teach you, for that same anointing will teach you what? All things. So why are we running everywhere trying to find the truth when we have that Christ within us, we have the anointing within us, and 1 John also says, you have an anointing and you know all things. We don't trust that. It's really because we haven't really been taught. But when you're willing to take the time, and I know of no other way to begin to hear the voice than through what we're being taught in these days, and that is through meditation, through both the stilling of the mind and also through contemplative meditation, is the only way you'll begin to hear the voice of God. I'll never forget, you know, we pastored for about 3 years, and I was concerned because I thought, how in the world can I give even 2 messages a week? I mean, to me, that was an impossibility. But when I got in that place and I knew God had sent me there, I would spend hours in my office just in quietness and just being open, and God would just pour, just open my understanding, not audibly. I didn't hear God speak, you know, like I'm speaking to you, but just such inspiration and such enlightenment and understanding would come to me through the Word. But it was because, as a pastor, I just knew that I had to have the answers from God. And so I try to encourage people everywhere I go. The reason that you're not hearing God is you are not taking the time to sit quietly with your whole being open to Him, and whether it's 4 or 5 minutes a day, It doesn't matter the time. What really matters is that you spend at least a few moments every day in the quiet seeking God. And when you do that, you begin to not necessarily hear his voice, but it's like lightning will go through your head. Lightnings and thunders. Revelation talks about that. And that's what we're experiencing a lot of these days. There's lightnings and thunders going off in our head. Sometimes just a flash of light and you'll say, oh, that's what that meant. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful thing in the world when you begin to hear from God. And you know, all of the spiritual teachers that I've read throughout the last several years, they all say the same thing. Don't go to the arm of flesh. Because you have the ability within you to receive the answers that you need. And if you'll stop going to the arm of flesh, stop going to whoever you go to try to get your answers, you have an anointing and you know all things. And the more you begin to experience that, and I'm not standing here telling you now I know everything, but when the circumstances arise that I need to know something, it comes to me. And that's what that scripture means, that there's nothing that you can possibly need that you can't have the answer for. It's the most amazing life to begin to walk in this experience. So I say the church age is just beginning. We realize we are without spot and wrinkle. Because God does not look, you know, at that word, I try to get away from that. God is really not a good word anymore, I don't think, because so many people, when you say God, they have that image in their head. And that's just as much a false God as anything else, is to have a wrong image of him in your head. I really like words like source and source energy, because that's what we are. You know, and vibrations. We all know about radio waves. How many waves have gone through the air right now? Right. But to tune into those waves, you have to have a radio to tune into the right frequency. And there are so many miracles in our modern age. If I had my computer here today, I could set my computer up here on this platform and not even plug it in. And I could go on the internet and write a letter, and I could push a button and it would print out on my printer at home. Now, I'm not plugged in. There's no wires connected to my laptop. Yet, that's a miracle. Without any plugs, any wires whatsoever, to type a letter on my computer right here without it even being plugged into the wall and push the send button and have it print on my printer at home. Yeah. I can do that. That's amazing.
It is. It really is.
How amazing do you think God is? All of us have that source energy within us. And if we will learn to just turn and focus on that source energy within us, oh my God, what we experience. I often shared it this way, that source energy is really impersonal. Now, years ago, I used to get mad at Christian Science because they'd say God is impersonal. Well, I just didn't understand what they meant. But source energy really is impersonal. It doesn't mean it cannot be personal to you, but it's really impersonal as far, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Electricity is a good analogy of God. Yes. And if you go over here and you uncork a light switch and you grab a hold of a bare wire, it don't care if you're good or bad. You're going to be infused with that energy. And I learned years ago that God was the same way. He is the source of all that is. He doesn't care if you're bad. He doesn't care if you're good. He cares. We all know that's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you begin to focus on your inner being, you connect up with that source energy. And the more you connect up with source energy, the more that energy begins to vibrate and energize your whole being. And that's when all of this false stuff falls off. All of your habits will begin to fall off. All of your carnal religious thinking begins to fall off. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad, you're intelligent, you're ignorant. It makes no, God cares nothing for what we call this human carnal existence. Because He knows the truth of your being. And in the very recesses of your being, you're the absolutely most beautiful creature. And I love the scripture that says there that we, sons of God, I'll tell you, creation has waited for years for us to be at this point. Because we will release all of creation from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's our mission. It's not to be religious. It's not to read the Bible all day. You can walk in this and never have ever read a Bible. That's what's so good about it. And that's why we're finding from all nations and all cultures and all different, you know, concepts that people are being raised in their consciousness, because we collectively are beginning to raise the consciousness of the whole earth.
Yes.
And people one day are maybe just be cooking dinner and all of a sudden they'll have that revelation. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience we're in. I'm thinking very seriously about that winter thing, you know. We would love to be a part of a group like this. Oh, hallelujah. It's wonderful. Well, I'll close. I'll tell you, I so appreciate you guys, because every time we come here, I see you've advanced. And Mary Lou, I could never say enough about Mary Lou. Couldn't say enough about Mary Lou. When we first met Mary Lou, she was a little bit cautious of what we were doing. But boy, did her box blow up. And I know that Nana and several others like her has helped her come out of that box. And so we need each other desperately. You know, I know there's people in this room who... far greater at the teaching and the experience of this than even I am. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because all of us are unique.
That's right.
And we all have a unique expression.
Yes.
And you put us all together, and how wonderful it is. I just love this place. Amen.
I love you.
Oh, he'll be back. He made new friends too on this trip. I tell you, this is, we are so...